Talk Show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Wolf Banesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter, not some
Colbert.
Hey there. Better late than never. If you have been listening, I was taking part in some severe weather coverage that was broadcast across all four of our stations here less than 5 minutes ago. We had about a half hour to 45-minute stretch there where the coverage area was under a tornado warning in multiple counties, including Blackhawk. That has since expired, but obviously you're going to continue to hear periodic break-ins from my colleague Scott Finsloff throughout the show. I'm going to try to get to Dargan Southard of the Des Moines Register. He's down in Dallas and will be providing excellent coverage like he always does for the Register for the Iowa women's basketball team, of course, with their Final Four game tonight against top-ranked and undefeated South Carolina. So obviously an abridged version, a audible version, hot route version, whatever sports euphemism you want to use right now of the show on this Friday. But as you understand, our priority here is to keep all of you as safe and informed as possible, as this proves to be a all too classic Out Like a Lion edition of the month of March here in Iowa. And this is a insane radar that we're looking at, all the way up to about Mankato, Minnesota, all the way down into Arkansas, from what I've been able to gather, with a lot of severe weather right now in our area moving all about. And I was just saying this on the severe weather coverage that we were doing across all four of our stations, that going back about an hour and 15 minutes ago, it looked like a lot was going to go north of the Cedar Valley and south of the Cedar Valley. But the atmosphere is just so volatile right now with this warm air and cool air hitting each other that the radar at one moment, you know, can look one way, and 20 minutes later, it looks completely different. Got a message here from a caller that power is off along LaPorte Road and 218 to the intersection of South Marnin. So if you do have to travel right now, I imagine a number of you are in the car, that you're likely to run into some inclement situations here, whether it be weather-related or weather-induced, having an effect on your ability to travel safely. So what I'm going to do here is we're going to take a commercial break right now. We'll get you a VSiN action update that, of course, Brent Musburger and the guys will have a look at tonight's Final Four game with Iowa and South Carolina. We'll get you, for what it's worth, the general forecast from Megan Mulford and get you kind of the nuts and bolts of what's going on right now. We'll come back. We'll try to get connected with Dargan Southard of the Des Moines Register. There's likely to be weather break-ins, but I will tell you this. If you want to hear the entire interview with Dargan, it will be available on the podcast that will go up near the end of the hour at 1650thefan.com. So thanks for being here on a Friday edition of Cole & Company. I am your host, Colbert. It is the last day of March, the 31st, and let's take this time out. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about this Iowa women's basketball Final Four game tonight. We got to do it. We'll find a way to do it, and we'll still keep you safe with as much weather information as we can right here on The Fan.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
The best way to start betting smarter is to sign up for a free VSiN subscription at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe.
Iowa Hawkeyes meet South Carolina, the women's Final Four today at American Airlines Center in Dallas. The Gamecocks, unbeaten and the defending national champions, are 11.5-point favorites, a total bet up from 149 to 150. LSU laying 2 against Virginia Tech in the other women's semifinal, the total 133. Men's Final Four tomorrow, Florida Atlantic, a 2.5-point dog against San Diego State. UConn laying 5.5 against Miami. White Sox today, $1.45 dog at Houston, -155. 8 flat the total at Minute Maid Park. Big Ten baseball, Iowa Hawkeyes laying $1.30 at home against Maryland. Mike Sunnett, 1650 The Fan.
We've invented a new messaging system using the crisp sounds of Bud Light. Crisp Code, Lesson 86. This is how you say, gee willikers, it's a hot one. Let's cool down with some Bud Lights. That's it for today. Bud Light. Crisp. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
They say consistency is the key to success. They weren't wrong. So how about grabbing a beer that's consistently smooth, consistently refreshing, and consistently light? You might just find that the road to success can be pretty enjoyable. Michelob Ultra, the perfect balance of taste and refreshment, and only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
If you need a garage, you need action. Action Garage Builders.
Hi there. Troy with Action Garage Builders. Whether you're looking to build that new garage you've never had or replace that old existing garage, call Action Garage Builders. We can tear down existing garages, install new concrete, and build your new garage utilizing maintenance-free siding, vinyl windows, insulated steel doors, and more. Give us a call at 232-1477. If you need a garage, you need Action.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. A wind advisory continues until 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. A tornado watch continues until 8 p.m. tonight. Overcast tonight with rain likely early then changing to snow. Lows around 30. Westerly winds 30 to 40 miles an hour. Snow likely tomorrow. High of 42. 28 tomorrow night. Partly cloudy. A dusting of snow tonight. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now it's 60.
You're listening to Cole & Company with Colbert, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. A late starting show today. Severe weather coverage across all four of our stations. Went into the 5 o'clock hour, but we're doing what we can here. Obviously, first things first is your information and safety, and we're going to continue to bring that to you. There will be interruptions to this show, but what's important is that not only we're going to bring you those updates, but if this interview with Dargan Southard of the Des Moines Register is interrupted at any time, it won't be on the podcast, and you can listen to that on demand in about 40 minutes time at 1650thefan.com as Dargan kind enough to join us now from Dallas, Texas, ahead of tonight's Final Four doubleheader. And the second game of that doubleheader, of course, includes the Iowa women's basketball team taking on top-ranked and undefeated South Carolina. Dargan, thanks so much for being here, man. I imagine things are a little better weather-wise down there than up here, huh?
Just a little bit. Yeah, it was about 83 and sunny and had a nice breeze going, but I won't rub it in everybody's faces too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've lived in Iowa long enough now as a Tennessee native to know this is the way it goes this time of year. But let's talk basketball. Let's take a little break here from the weather. And first things first, just what's still front of mind for you, Dargan, when you look back and evaluate Iowa's 97-83 Elite Eight win over what proved to be a really, really good Louisville team?
Yeah, I think it was an important showing for Iowa because they had kind of grinded through the two games before that against Georgia and Colorado. And they needed a game where, their offense was at its best on the court. And obviously, Caitlin Clark is the chief primary reason that happens. And it certainly did in abundance up there. And so, you know, that's certainly propelled Iowa here with a lot of confidence. You know, obviously they know what the task is tonight. You know, a South Carolina team that, you know, hasn't really had a whole lot of adversity this year in terms of close games. You know, a couple games with the overtime, but
right.
One was really early in the season. They've kind of just been rolling right along. So, you know, Iowa certainly knows what's in front of them, but, you know, I think it's a group playing with a lot of confidence right now.
And that's where I want to go next, Dargan, is that confidence, that mental edge, because obviously you got to be able to put the ball through the basket. You got to be able to execute your game plan. But if there's any sort of, you know, a lack of a mental fortitude, then you're not going to be able to win games like this. And I think a lot of it comes from seeing how Iowa played, as you were just describing there, against Louisville in the Elite Eight. But it really does seem like when you compare to a season ago at this time, when Iowa had been bounced from the tournament earlier than anybody anticipated, that there is a mental edge with this team. They do seem, without the benefit of being able to know completely, being in the locker room, being on the bus with them, but they do seem to really be, you know, walking tall and have that edge.
Absolutely, and I really think it's, you know, this group is, the starting five is going to start, you know, I believe it's 91st game together tonight, and it's really a culmination of all the things that they've been through, good and bad, over the last two seasons. You know, this group started as kind of a plucky underdog 2 years ago with freshman Caitlin Clark getting them to the Sweet 16. Last year, you know, they had a lot of success, but it ended the way it ended. And, you know, going through all those experiences seems to really be paying off right now because, you know, the confidence is high. I think Caitlin's confidence, not that it ever wavered, but it's certainly increased even more this year, just the fearlessness that she's playing with right now. And, you know, you talk about mental edges and, you know, how those can make a difference. There's a very big difference in what these two teams have at stake tonight. You look at Iowa,
yeah.
You know, this season is already cemented as, you know, maybe the best season in program history, certainly one of the best. And, you know, really, I think they could go out and lose by 30 tonight, and that really wouldn't change at all. And then you go to the other side, and South Carolina has everything to lose tonight. You know, they're trying to go back-to-back, trying to finish off an undefeated season, trying to, you know, nudge Caitlin and Iowa out of the spotlight the way they've kind of owned it a lot this year. So, you know, if Iowa can get to the point, you know, late in the game where South Carolina's, you know, there hasn't been many games this year where they're in a dogfight with 5 minutes to go. And so, you know, if Iowa can somehow get to that point where they're in the game late, then I think the mental freeness, I guess you could say, that they've been playing with, I think that's going to make a difference, whereas South Carolina's going to be dealing with a lot of tense energy if that materializes.
I think you laid that all out perfectly, and I think it's important to talk about. Dargan Southard, Des Moines Register, joining us now live from Dallas. He'll have coverage. Follow him on Twitter at Dargan_Southard. He'll be at the game covering it for the Register tonight, the Iowa women's basketball team taking on South Carolina in the Final Four. And it makes me think, Dargan, you know, when you kind of have the conversation we just did, people go, man, what about keeping your focus during all the festivities, everything that goes on, everything that's asked of the team during Final Four week? And it's like, well, who can really measure that? And all four teams go through that stuff.
Yeah, you know, there's definitely been a ton of distractions here for Iowa. And obviously for Caitlin, you know, she had the Naismith Trophy presentation on Wednesday. The media scene here is more than I anticipated. It's been pretty hectic, and she's obviously been right in the middle of all that. And so, you know, on one hand, you can kind of understand why Iowa would be just happy to be here and kind of soaking in the moment for what it is, because, you know, it has been 30 years since they've been to the Final Four, and, you know, there's certainly no guarantee that Iowa's going to get back here. So, you know, I understand that part. But again, you know, Iowa technically is two wins away from a national title. And when you're that close to such a monumental goal, you know, you've got to accept the challenge and you've got to be locked in. And so that's kind of what I wrote about yesterday. And, one of the things that was interesting was, so the team flew straight from Seattle to Dallas after they beat Louisville. And the players, you know, that was a lot of for logistical reasons, but the players actually thought that was a good thing, because if they had gone home, then it would have been all this fanfare, would have been all this admiration, would have been all this excitement.
Yep.
And there's time for that down the road, but you know, the time for that really isn't right now if Iowa wants to keep going. So, you know, they thought that helped keep them locked in about going back home. And, you know, it makes sense, because obviously this fan base has shown that, you know, it's ready to do about anything for this team. And so,
yeah.
You know, you don't really think of positive noise as what you need to block out, but that's certainly one of the challenges for Iowa down here.
Dargan, when it comes to the basketball side of things, of accepting the challenge that lies ahead before a national championship game, it's Goliath that lies ahead here. South Carolina, top-ranked, undefeated, has won 42 in a row, looking to be back-to-back national champions. But let's just break it down to this. Let's try to get down just to the nitty-gritty here. What's the one, maybe two things that South Carolina is going to have tonight that they'll undoubtedly have to give the Hawkeyes the most trouble with?
It's got to be their size, you know, rebounding. You know, South Carolina's shooting percentages really aren't that impressive. But, you know, when you get three, four, even sometimes five chances on one possession, you know, the odds kind of tilt in your favor that you're eventually going to score. So, you know, obviously that's something that Iowa doesn't have a ton of. You know, it's going to be a Monica Sonano, Hannah Stolke, and I even think Addison O'Grady's going to get in. You know, I think those three are going to kind of, you know, try to plug the hole as much as they can. And, you know, I really think the way that these teams like to do business is so different that, you know, if you could boil it down to one thing, I think it's which team can get the game at their pace the quickest. You know, if Iowa comes out rolling and, you know, has a 30-point first quarter or something like that, then, you know, South Carolina's offense isn't really built to, you know, make a huge comeback. And they haven't had to do that again this year. So that's kind of a place that they could be where you could maybe see some unfamiliar elements making a difference. But, again, you know, if I was kind of sputtering, you know, just not knocking down shots, and it's really kind of a grueling, you know, sluggish offensive start, then that's what South Carolina wants, and that's what South Carolina thrives on is, you know, taking advantage of when the game goes like that. So I think we'll know pretty quickly, you know, how much Iowa is going to be in this game.
Dargan, it's something that I'm really interested to see, and I think it's important to reiterate that if South Carolina rebounds like they have for much of this season, this may not be as big of a deal with respect to Caitlin Clark as you would think, but I'm very intrigued to see how South Carolina goes about guarding Caitlin Clark. I've wondered maybe they'll just try to play her one-on-one, only double if she breaks down the defense and gets in the paint, so she can't be that kind of shoot and pass maestro that creates wide open shots for her teammates. I wonder about that dynamic versus, well, no, let's run our size and our bodies at her and double her as much as we can. Any sort of inclination, I'm gonna imagine Dawn Staley's holding her cards as close to the vest as possible. But what do you just think about that dynamic?
Yeah, you know, obviously the defensive game plan on Caitlin is gonna be, you know, throughout the team, and is gonna require big performances from multiple players on South Carolina. You know, the vibe we got from the locker room yesterday was, you know, there's definitely a ton of respect for Caitlin. There's definitely a ton of, you know, acknowledging that she's had a really good season and she's definitely, you know, can take over a game at any point. But, you know, I think South Carolina's confident in its defense in the way that it has, you know, handled things all season. And so, you know, when you're a team at the top with defense as kind of your calling card, you know, I don't expect a whole lot of changes from what they've done during the season. Kind of an interesting note is Bria Beal, who was a Naismith Defensive Player of the Year finalist, and is probably going to be the one on Clark the most. She's actually from the Quad Cities, Rock Island. So and, you know, had a little bit of interest from Iowa, but was really set on going elsewhere. So, again, you know, she's been the one that usually takes the opponent's best players, and that's probably how it's going to start. And then, you know, there might need to be some adjustments as the game goes on. But, you know, I think South Carolina's certainly embracing the challenge of taking on Caitlin and seeing if they can shut her down.
I guess just one final thought from me, Dargan, is Iowa won that game against Louisville with Monica Sinano scoring 9 points. I think if you would have asked anybody, ourselves included, would they have won that game if she scored 9 points, we all would have said no. I mean, could they win this game if Monica scores 9 points tonight? I mean, it's a fascinating matchup between her and Boston.
Yeah, I mean, I really think it's going to come down to how can Iowa shoot from the outside, because I really think Monica Sinano is going to struggle tonight. It's going to be a tough battle. It's going to be a long battle. It's going to be a battle that, you know, is probably not going to have a ton of bright spots in it. And so, you know, players like Kate Martin, Gabby Marshall, even McKenna Warnock, you know, they've really got to bring it from the outside. And Iowa's got to be, you know, dialed in shooting-wise pretty much from the beginning if they're going to keep this one, you know, within reach. But, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see the Sinano-Boston matchup. You know, obviously everybody wants to talk about Boston and Clark together, but Sinano's really going to be the one that has to handle her down low. So it's a big moment. It's a big moment for Sinano. You know, this could be her last game at Iowa, and it's also a big moment for Hannah Stolke, too, who's going through all of this for the first time.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an interesting contrast on, you know, what Iowa's going to throw at South Carolina down low.
I thought Stolke was great against Louisville.
Yeah, and she's going to need to be great again tonight. You know, this tournament's been maybe the one time in the Colorado game where, you know, she kind of looked like a freshman and, you know, had to, you know, the game was maybe moving too quick. But, you know, it's right into the fire tonight, and Iowa's certainly going to need everything that she can get them.
Dargan, great stuff. Really appreciate you joining the show. We'll be, of course, following along with your coverage at thedesmoinregister.com and on Twitter at Dargan_Southern. Well, take care, man.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks, Cole.
Thank you. Dargan Southern, Des Moines Register, kind enough to join us on this Friday edition of Cole & Company. All right, we're going to take a timeout. We'll get you Radio Iowa Sports. We will get you Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast to join us on the other side, talk a little bit of this and that in terms of what's trending in our sports world. But I want to bring you an update from the National Weather Service. We continue to be under a severe thunderstorm warning until 5:45. So 10 minutes left on this, and specifically it includes Eastern Blackhawk, and as far as our listening area is concerned, Eastern Tama and Bremer County. Severe thunderstorms located along a line extending from Republic to near Dunkerton to Belle Plaine, moving east at 45 miles per hour with wind gusts up to 60 miles per hour. Of course, that can impact and damage roofs, siding, and trees. You need to be in the most interior part of your home or in your basement. And we have a tornado watch that remains in effect, until 8 o'clock tonight for basically all of East Northeast Iowa. So continue to be safe, and we'll continue to bring you as much information as we can as we roll along here on a Funky Friday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. The Iowa Hawkeye women are decided underdogs as they get ready to take on top-ranked South Carolina tonight at the Final Four in Dallas. The Hawkeyes are 30-6 and making their first appearance in the national semifinals since 1993, while the defending champion Gamecocks are 36-0. It'll be an Iowa offense that averages more than 87 points per game against a South Carolina defense that gives up just over 51 points per contest. Hawkeye center Monica Sinano will need to be effective against a talented and deep South Carolina front line.
But I truly think at this point in my career, having played for 5 years, I've played against so many different style of post players, so many different physicality levels that I'm really excited for this opportunity. I think it's going to be really fun. I love going against really great centers. I think it makes me better. It makes everybody better. So more than anything, I'm just very excited to play the game.
The first of the two semifinals pits LSU against Virginia Tech. The winners meet Sunday for the national title. This is Radio Iowa.
Mom and Dad used to argue about everything, especially about Dad's drinking. My family went from totally crazy to quiet, calm, and even peaceful when Mom started going to Al-Anon family groups. I wanted a better relationship with Dad, so I asked Mom if she would take me to her Al-Anon meetings or to Al-Ateen. I'm sure glad I did. If someone's drinking troubling you, you might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon or Al-Ateen family group from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON or go to alanon.org.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Al-Ateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Want to keep your AC from conking out? At your local one-hour heating and air conditioning, we recommend an AC tune-up, ASAP. It can help pinpoint potential problems and even extend the life of your air conditioning system. How's that for a comforting thought? Right now, get cool savings on an AC tune-up. Call 319-287-9200.
Your comfort is just a call away. Call 1-Hour.
Terms and conditions may apply. Call for details. Independently owned and operated. Licensed in the respective state or county.
When you're at home, don't miss Cole and Company. Tell your smart speaker to play 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back. Friday edition of the show continues. Just got word that that severe thunderstorm warning I was telling you about that included Blackhawk County and some surrounding counties has since been canceled ahead of its original 5:45 expiration date. So just hope everybody out there is as safe as can be right now, and we'll continue to monitor it. And if anything does change, of course, we'll break in with additional severe weather coverage. But we're going to roll along here and continue to talk sports as Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast joins us now. Follow him on Twitter, at Logan Blackman. Logan, I guess first things first, since we're talking weather here a lot today on the show, trying to keep everybody safe. What can you tell us, if anything, that you experienced over in the Des Moines area?
It's just been windy. It's been a weird one. It's starting to get a little colder, but like at midday today, it was like weirdly hot. Like for what the weather was like, I was wearing a sweatshirt. I had pants on. Like I walked outside. I was like, oh, this is a little bit more toasty than I thought it would be today. And then I just went outside a little bit ago. And yeah, the wind just started picking up again. So yeah, just hope everybody is safe out there today.
All right. I think we start with Major League Baseball opening day. Our Cubs got a win. We like that, of course. But, you know, much of the talk, rightfully so, just about how much quicker all the ball games went yesterday with the new pitch clock. We saw Cubs starter Marcus Stroman get the honor of committing the first pitch clock violation. It didn't really seem to disrupt him at all. I mean, he ended up having a great six-inning outing for the Cubs yesterday. But, you know, just watching that Cubs-Brewers game, I imagine that you did, Logan, and also just taking in anything and everything else. So what do you take from day one of the pitch clock and all the new rules in Major League Baseball?
Well, I saw today that the pitch clock was down, or like the opening day from last year to this year was down 26 minutes or something like that. Like the pitch clock is doing its job in regards to speeding up the game, but yeah, in regards to it affecting Stroman, he looked really good yesterday. I think the Cubs in general looked really good, apart from Nico Horner forgetting he was playing second base, not shortstop, earlier in the game where he skied a ball that was like he was 10 feet away from Eric Hosmer and just skied it over his head. But they looked good. They looked really, really good. Opening day in general, I think, was a relative success. You saw Aaron Judge hit a home run. You saw Shohei Ohtani throw 10 strikeouts and lose. So, like, yeah, everything's back to normal. But this was a similar ish outing for the Cubs as it was the opening day last year, because they hit off Corbin Burns pretty well.
Yep.
During opening game last year. I'm excited to see what Horner can do at leadoff. I loved what Dansby Swanson did. Swanson and Stroman looked really good yesterday. It was just a nice game. Got a few walks out of it as well. It was a really solid outing for opening day for the Cubs.
I would imagine, too, just like myself, you were devastated to see the Cardinals not once but twice lose late leads to the Blue Jays last night and end up losing that game.
Well, it was brutal. It was really heart-wrenching stuff to try and witness that. It just pains the soul when you see such a good team like that lose in that fashion, man. It was just really heartbreaking to see. You had two two runs in the ninth inning, two to lose the game, give up 19 hits. Like, it's just, it pained me to see it. And like the Cubs, you can't go 0-162 if you don't start with 0-1. So yeah. It's just like that. Cubs can't go 162-0 if they can't start 1-0. So it was a great day.
Everything seems right in the world as far as we're concerned. All right, and your boy, because many people that listen to this show and know what you bring to the table, you are an NFL draft nerd, unapologetically, and we know the crush that you've had on Florida quarterback Anthony Richardson. He had his pro day. He hit the roof with a Hail Mary throw. He did backflips. But can this guy hit a dude in stride on a 15-yard dig? Can he hit the back shoulder throw 20 yards down the field against, you know, and decipher what coverage the defense is in? Like, okay, this guy's tools are otherworldly, but where should he be picked, Logan?
I think tools enough. He should definitely be a top 10 pick. I think that's going to rub some people the wrong way because people are going to see him as one of those quote-unquote workout warriors or just super dominant in workouts and then don't really have any product on the field. But there are flashes that Anthony Richardson has. And I've tried to say this a bunch. I don't want to compare him to Josh Allen in regards to I think he is Josh Allen or he's going to become Josh Allen. But there are moments that he had at Florida that were similar-ish to Josh Allen's rookie year where it was like there are times where there's things that he does that's like no one else can do that. And the hitting the roof, I think that was just to show off a little bit. I don't think that was on accident. I think he did that on purpose because I think he's just trying to show off, oh, I can hit the ceiling if I really want to. But there's moments like just some of the throws he makes are so effortless. The effortlessness out of everything he does, even the backflips, the back handsprings and everything. Like everything just so insanely fluid for a guy at 6'4", 245 pounds. And I think his ceiling is limitless. That being said, he may have the highest ceiling out of the quarterbacks in this draft. He's definitely got the lowest floor.
Yeah.
Because there's that huge wiggle room there where if he reaches his potential, he'll be insane. But if he doesn't, you're going to be scratching your head like, why did we take this guy at top five or something? But I don't like when people go on Twitter and stuff, which is, again, a very calm place to state your opinion without getting really judged heavily.
Yeah.
But I hate seeing people like some franchise going to set their team back 10 years by drafting Anthony Richardson in the top five. I don't believe that at all. I think this dude's special. I think if he goes to the right team and right system, I think he could definitely flourish at the next level.
But he needs to draft and not play as a rookie, right? Maybe like at the end of the year of a lost season, but he doesn't need to play right away.
Yeah, because he needs to go to a team, because when Josh Allen got drafted, that was the same thing that was said about him. But Josh Allen had the misfortune, I would say the pleasure, I guess, of playing with Nathan Peterman and AJ McCarron. If Anthony Richardson goes to a team like, I don't know, the Seahawks or the Lions, where they've got Geno Smith just signed a new contract extension that's really a one-year deal. They can opt out of it after a year. And then you got the Lions with Jared Goff. They have Jameson Williams. Williams and freaking Anthony Richardson would be insane to watch. There's just a lot of good. And then even the Panthers, if they want to take him at number one, they have Andy Dalton. So they've got guys in place that can play right away and have him learned under guys that have been around the league a while. Jared Goff and Geno Smith are just Pro Bowlers. Andy Dalton's been around the league. He's been to playoff games. Like, go to a place like that. The Colts are a very likely spot, too, because they got Gardner Minshew. And Gardner Minshew can play numerous plays if he needs to, or numerous games he needs to. He's a capable enough guy. He's like a Jacoby Brissett, where you don't want him long-term, but he's a good stopgap guy for the here and now. And I think those types of teams could be very beneficial for Richardson.
All right, let's do some quick hits here. One last one as it relates to the NFL draft. Chances out of 10, Logan, that Lucas Van Ness and Jack Campbell are both selected in the first round.
Ooh. I'll go 7. 7 or, yeah, because I think the Bills are really, because I didn't realize this till the other day. Jack Campbell is as big as Tremaine Edmonds, which is someone that the Bills are going to miss a lot in that middle of the defense, because they've already said Milano's not moving over. They've said it's between Bernard and Dodson, who are not guys that I would necessarily staple into sharpie into a starting middle linebacker spot. They don't have any of the size and length that a guy like Edmonds or even a Jack Campbell has. I think we know Lucas Van Ness going in the first round, but that Jack Campbell, I think, to Buffalo, I think makes a lot of sense. He feels like a process player, which is what the Bills definitely look for. And McDermott loves Iowa guys. I mean, Micah Hyde's there. Spencer Brown, not a University of Iowa, but an Iowa guy. Like, I could definitely see Campbell going to Iowa at 27.
Which saga gets resolved first, Lamar Jackson or Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, God. Probably Rodgers. Probably. So I don't know. That one's a really tricky. So if the Packers can get off the fact that they think Rodgers is worth 2 first-round draft picks for a guy that might even not play next year, right, then I would say it'd be a little bit harder. But if they can get off that, then I think the Jets could get something over line. Because he wants to go there. The Jets want him. The Packers are apparently ready to move on to Love. So it's just a matter of what the value is. And I think if they agree, they can get something done.
How about this? Jets got a young roster that's looking pretty good. Set all the nonsense aside if we can. If you were the Jets GM and you could wait until after this draft to offer the first-round pick and compensation for Lamar Jackson and maybe sign him to like a 3-year fully guaranteed deal, would you rather do that or would you rather get 1, maybe 2 years of Aaron Rodgers? Because I think there's more debate here, and it just seems like, well, the Jets have been backed themselves into a corner. Not to say getting Aaron Rodgers is backing yourself into a corner, but like their mind's made up, whereas I'm like, should your mind be made up?
Yeah, my dad and I have had the exact same conversations. We've talked about this about 4 or 5 times since the whole Aaron Rodgers went on Pat McAfee show thing where he's like, I was 90% retired. Now I have my intention to play for the Jets. Like, I would just send those picks to the Ravens to get Lamar Jackson. And I think this has something to do with the Jets and Joe Douglas having some weird obsession with believing that Zach Wilson is their guy. And they think that if he sits behind Aaron Rodgers for a year or two, he could come back and be the guy that they expected him to be when they drafted him 2nd overall. But if they get Lamar, then they're basically saying that's done. And I would, after watching Zach Wilson a lot, being a division team that's played him, that Bills have lost to Zach Wilson. They lost to him this year. So I'm not going to totally destroy him, but there's nothing there that's really like, oh yeah, that's a guy you can really build on for the next however many years. If you think Rodgers can help him realize that potential, which I haven't seen there being any semblance of that, he's lost the locker room, essentially, I would just move for Lamar. I'd cut your losses. I'd just move for Lamar Jackson.
That's what I'm thinking. All right, before I got to let you go, Logan, I imagine you're going to be watching the big Final Four game tonight between Iowa and South Carolina. You got any thoughts you want to leave us with here as we wind down?
Oh, fun game. This is the – I was talking to my dad yesterday. This is the unstoppable force meets the immovable object type thing, where Iowa's offense versus South Carolina's defense will be fun to watch. And I made a women's bracket this year. And my women's bracket is really, really good. I got the Final Four right, apart from Virginia Tech beating Ohio State, which did not help me out at all. I had that one. But, yeah, Iowa, I had Iowa winning. No bias at all in that. No bias at all.
But of course not.
I think Iowa, if they can continue scoring like they have, and I don't see any reason why not, they can win this game. It'll be a lot of Caitlin Clark to see how she distributes the ball a lot in this game, too, because we know she could do that. She loves a cross-court pass. She loves to shoot wherever. If they can stay hot and defend the paint, it's going to be a challenge. But if they can do well in the paint and she can distribute well, I don't see why they can't win this game. I think they can go on to win a natty this year if everything goes right.
I think it's quite a bit more possible than most people are giving them a chance.
I saw it was a 12. South Carolina's like a 12-point favor or something.
I heard 11.5 this morning.
Gee, yeah, I think Iowa's got a lot better chance to win than that.
Agreed. Logan, great stuff. Always enjoy your time on the show. Have a great weekend. Enjoy tonight's game.
Yeah, you too.
I'm Bridget Condon with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Florida quarterback Anthony Richardson threw himself into the mix to be the first pick of the draft with some impressive throws, including a 70-yard completion at his pro day Thursday. Before his workout, Richardson met with Carolina, who has the 1st overall pick, and the Raiders. He believes he can be a day one starter.
You know, I'm a natural thrower. At times, I was very inconsistent throughout the season, so I was just trying to put that behind me, you know, trying to stay consistent, because I know inconsistency is not going to work at the next level, so I've just been grinding at that.
Another top quarterback prospect, Hendon Hooker, was unable to work out at Tennessee's pro day after having knee surgery, but Hooker tells NFL Network he should be fully healthy by training camp in July. Elsewhere, TCU receiver Quentin Johnston showed why he's getting first-round buzz by running a 4.49 40 at his pro day Thursday. And on the pro side, the Steelers beefed up their D, signing former Pro Bowl safety Keanu Neal to a 2-year deal. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Here's Howie Long for Skechers Hands-Free Slip-In Footwear.
The world has gone hands-free. However, if you want to put on a pair of sneakers, you still need to bend down and help your feet in. Until now. Introducing Skechers Hands-Free Slip-In Footwear. You don't need to reach down to help your heel in. You just step into them and off you go. So what's the secret? Well, there's a special smooth comfort pillow in the heel that helps your foot slide into place. And they stay on just like a pair of laced-up sneakers.
Get hands-free slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
The first 3 years of every child's life are critical. Learn more about early intervention. How your baby or toddler plays, learns, talks, acts, and moves give important clues as to how they are developing. If you have any questions or concerns about whether your baby or toddler's development is on track, please call 1-800-515-BABY. That's 1-800-515-2229. Call 1-800-515-BABY. That's 1-800-515-2229.
Mom and Dad used to argue about everything, especially about Dad's drinking. My family went from totally crazy to quiet, calm, and even peaceful when Mom started going to Al-Anon family groups. I wanted a better relationship with Dad, so I asked Mom if she would take me to her Al-Anon meetings or to Al-Ateen. I'm sure glad I did. If someone's drinking troubling you, you might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon or Al-Ateen family group from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON or go to alanon.org.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. The New York Mets are paying a league-high $338 million in payroll this season. That's actually $67 million more than the Yankees. The team went out and signed the reigning AL Cy Young winner, Justin Verlander, attempted to strike a deal with Carlos Correa, re-signed players like star closer Edwin Diaz, outfielder Brandon Nimmo, to $100 million extensions. Despite the busy summer, the Mets season isn't off to a rousing start. The team lost Diaz for at least 6 months after an injury in the World Baseball Classic. Former All-Star Jose Quintana is out until July after rib surgery, and yesterday the team put Verlander on the injured list before the veteran could even make a start. Well, it's at the end of March. There's no need to panic yet. New York's roster is still loaded, but between a record-breaking spending spree and a division that produced the last two NLCS champs, the pressure is going to be on the Mets. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned, doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite restaurant, doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard, that's also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. No, Discover does it automatically. Seriously, though, see the terms and check it out for yourself. Discover.com/match. You know our partners, TireRack.com, you know, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, tire decision guy. They test the tires. They've got their own test track where they push tires to the limit. Yeah, those guys. You want a quiet tire with great traction, comfortable ride. Use their results to make an informed choice. They sell only the best, like the full lineup of Goodyear tires. Go to TireRack.com/Dan. See for yourself. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Busted. It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show with Cole Bear on 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back for a final time on this Friday. Got to thank Dargan Southard of the Des Moines Register, Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast. Obviously, we got the Final Four for the men coming up this weekend as well, and that means 2023 Bracket Attack will go from 4-2 left standing. Best of luck to Clint Murdy, Gabe Benson, Terry Fisher, and Andrew Gissel this weekend. Shout out to our sponsors, Next New Auto Detailing, Beaver Hills Country Club, Ted's Home and Hardware, Deary Brothers Collision Center, Rudy's Tacos, and Karen's Print Right for making it all possible. Thank those businesses if you are patronizing them at any point in the near future. That's a wrap for this week. Blackhawks hockey at 6:45.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.